KC. Hi, Jerry. Good afternoon. This is N0TR.
Hey, Tom. I hadn't heard Joan. I heard Joan this morning, but I didn't get up here to give you a shout. Hope everything's going well with you.
I haven't been on much lately, but I won't go into that. I just haven't. And stayed away from the repeater some, but it's good to hear you. I heard you the other day, but you was signing off. I don't know. I can't remember if it was Bill or somebody. But, we just been out grocery shopping at Aldi's and then had to stop by Walmart's for a little bit. But other than that, I think I'm going to go out and spray some weed killer on the grass out here before it rains tomorrow. Or Friday, I guess. Thursday night.
Well, they finally decided to clear the lot off next door to us. They started working on that just past Friday. They got a lot done to it. They still got some big trees to take down, so it looks like people are starting to build again. Somebody cleared a lot off below us here next to the lake, and one on the other side, about a block over from us, who's cleared it off, built it, already built it. Just about finished the house on that, but it's lakefront. And up the road here, a place had been vacant for a while. The lot had been. I think the guy had been in maybe a nursing home, and it went through that Medicare recovery thing, and the family evidently finally sold it. And they're going to build two houses on that piece of property, I think. So we got some activity in the construction business here. Of course, I'm glad to see if this of us lot next door to us, it'll help add a little value to our house. It's been vacant now for, we've been here 26 years, and people have talked about building it for quite a while, but nobody ever did.
Thanks, Jerry. There's construction all around here in Greenville. Every square foot of land there is out there, they're building houses on. But there's one being built up the street from us now, but I think that might be the guy up there's parents that he's building a house for, but I don't know for sure. But there's been a lot of heavy equipment up there on top of the hill from us, and that's rather unusual. Not much going on here. Bernice made some sort of homemade, some cinnamon rolls that look like the ones you buy, you know, Pillsbury. Well, she made them out of crescent rolls this morning. Boy, them was good. They had nuts in them and everything. And she's over there making chocolate-covered almonds now. And I don't know what we're going to have for dinner today. What we having for dinner, Mom? Oh, butter, beans, and cornbread. So stay away, Jerry.
The cornbread always sounds good. Those crescent rolls are handy there to make other stuff out of. We used to do it years ago. We'd Liam would make a bunch of different recipes using those things. And for a while, they had a crescent roll that was, it was cornbread type. It wasn't real cornbread, but, it was corn rather than wheat. It was pretty tasty. I hadn't seen those in years, though. But, I like good cornbread. I mean, she always makes ours, and we got some old cast iron skillets that we use, and they've been in the family for probably 120, 130 years, I guess. Well, seasoned, there's nothing cooks like cast iron for a cornbread, we don't think. And I'll beat a path to the door if somebody's got cornbread or corn sticks. We do some corn sticks every once in a while, too. N4DJC Friday.
0TR, yeah, I love butter beans and cornbread now and then. It doesn't necessarily love me, but... but it's good. And Bernice, my mom used to always use ham hocks, but Bernice cuts up just chunks of ham and puts in it, I think, don't you, babe? And it's really good. But we don't have it too often. But yesterday, we bought some fillets from Aldi's. And they're like, $15.99 a pound, whereas over at Costco's now, the good ones are $26.99, so definitely don't get them very often. And, boy, I'm telling you, Jerry, them things are as far uptown as you can get. They were delicious. And they were filet mignons. And, you know, it doesn't take a very big one to satisfy us, like 6 or 8 ounces. You get two of them, and they weigh about a pound. And how much was a package of them? Well, a little over $14. So that's just $7 a piece for a filet. And I told Amy about it, our daughter down at the south part of Greer here. She says Lidl's has them, too. But, that was good, Jerry. We don't eat steak too often. I like those little pork chop filet-looking things you can get now and then in a package at Sam's or Costco's. Seemed like we hadn't been to Costco's in a coon's age. Most of the time, just Sam's anymore. But we did go over there and get a couple of bottles of... What did we buy over there, Mom? At Costco, those pills. Oh, Q10 or whatever it is for your heart. Just some vitamin stuff, I guess. CoQ10, I think it is. And it's supposed to be like the Fountain of Youth, Jerry, if you believe that.
That pinto beans, couple beers, you can beat that. Hey, Tom, Jerry, where is he? I'm cooking, so keep the chat.
Hi, Gabriel. Good to hear you, son. Hope you're doing well today. Yeah, Jerry, they was good. I just got a text from our daughter, and she just landed in Frankfurt just a while ago. They went to Amsterdam yesterday and then flew on into Frankfurt, going on down to Vienna, I think, in a few days. And her and the granddaughter. So they're happy, and they didn't have any hang-ups because of the COVID, so that's good. And she's going to teach school from her computer there, and a thing for her German class back in Ohio State, about one of them Zoom things, you know, online. Now, go ahead, Jerry. N4DJCN0TR.
She's going to have a good trip. Hope the weather's good over there. I've never traveled out of the country. But had a lot of friends that did. My brother-in-law travels a lot. He used to travel quite a bit, you know, to Korea and China and Switzerland and France. And he works for Georgia Tech. He's an engineer, and he works on DOD projects. And he also works for that, for the... the International Telecommunications Union, too. He does some work for them as well. But he traveled. I think the last time he traveled, he went to Switzerland, of course. When they pay you wait time, tell you, $14 for a couple of fillets, that's pretty dick and cheap. You can barely buy a strip for $14.99 a pound here. I have to look at Aldi's. Aldi's is right down the road from me. I don't have a Costco here. Sam's is a little too expensive now. The last ones I got there weren't very good. They weren't tender like they should have been. You know, you can get... It's kind of like getting a pig and a poke. Sometimes you can buy some and they're really good. Sometimes they're not really as good as they ought to be for the price.
Earl said he was cooking so he can break back in anytime. Yeah, that's what we thought. That's exceptional. These are in a green package. Of course, you can see the steaks through it, but there's another one there, and it was chuck. And they look like a filet, but they're not. But this said filet mignon on it, and God, you could cut them with your fork, and they're just the right size for us old folks. Grass-fed Angus, wasn't it, Bernice? I think, yeah. And so it's really... really worth the buy. Well, Shelley and Abby used to go to Germany and Austria every other year. Shelley went to school over there in Vienna for a year on a Rotary scholarship, and then she come back and taught 4 years, and then went back to Germany when her husband bid a job there. I think he did it just for her, for 3 years, and they lived in Frankfurt, so she got another master's degree in Frankfurt. The thing that amazes me as an old dummy like me is that in Austria, they don't speak English in the colleges, and that was really tough that first year. And then when she went to Germany, she was more fluent, and I guess that's High German, and the Austrians, they speak Low German or something, but don't quote me on that. But she made it a point to take Abby back over there every other year, and her and Abby just spoke German until she was through the ninth grade. But she's still having to study her tail off because the grammar part of it's hard to get it correct up there at Ohio State University. But she did all right. She got on the honor roll this year, so we're proud of them, Jerry. Yeah, always worry about them when they're overseas, so.
Which many time our niece was over there a year or so ago, and she was in France, and it was about the time of Bastille Day, and nothing happened while she was over there, but she had had some trouble over there before. But she was kind of cautious. She knew her dad had been over there multiple times. He kind of gave her a good idea where she needed to go and where she didn't need to go. But you know, these days, you know how it is. You just can't be too careful, I suppose, no matter where it is. And, I mean, they come now. It seems like it's more dangerous in New York than it is other places. It is any foreign country. That's terrible up there, what's going on. I have no desire to go there.
Well, Jerry, I don't ever want to leave these United States again after seeing what it was like way back about 50 years ago in the Philippines and in Vietnam and all those places I visited over there. thank God for the good old USA. I just don't care to go now. We went to Detroit here a while back, and I'd go over into Canada, but you got to have a passport just to go over there now. And but as far as international travel, oh no, especially not with this COVID junk going on. But they've both been vaccinated and boosted. And the thing of it is, Shelly, when she was over, she had to get a German driver's license. But heck, when you're going down the roads, I couldn't even read the road signs. But she knows them all. But I did have to, we was out on that Autobahn one day, and we was in this Audi station wagon, I think it was, or, no, it was a Renault station wagon. When she said she's getting a Renault, I thought, oh, geez, Renault Dauphine. But no, it was a nice station wagon. But I looked up there, and it said about 180 kilometers an hour. I said, hey, throw the anchor out. I said, we're not seeing anything. It's just a blur outside. I don't like traveling at those speeds up over 100.
Yeah, I mean, there were times when I was younger it would bother us so much, but I don't like to get much over 75 or so now. And I don't feel comfortable driving that fast at night either. But, my uncles had bought one years ago. This was back in the late 50s, early 60s. He was a big guy. He bought that thing. He was always buying, you know, something unusual. And he'd been Marine World War II. And he was a big guy. He was probably 6'3". I couldn't figure out what he got in it and got out of it. But I can't remember, it just Renault Dauphine. I can't remember what model it was, Todd, but he kept it for about a year. He said, this is a piece of junk.
When the Japanese cars first come over here, and they were just rust buckets, you know, Jerry. I never did buy one until, 1978, and that's when my Dodge Aspen wagon, it was only a year or two old, and it was just repair. And that's when I started buying Toyotas, and then they had a manufacturing plant here. And then our daughter that lives here now, she worked for the Toyota Technical Center in Dearborn, Michigan as an engineer, plastics engineer, for 2 years before she went to GE. And she said, Dad, she says, I was talking about a Camry, but we always had, you know, a Tercel or Corollas or whatever. She said, I'll tell you something about those. Those are old people's cars, and I don't want one. But she said, I can tell you this, from working for them, you get what you pay for.
My first Toyota was a four-door Corolla in 76. It was that green one, had that kind of saddle brown interior, four-door. It had air conditioning. It was a five-speed. We drove that thing. I don't know how long we drove it. We drove it for, you know, a number of years. And then when I got ready to trade it in, my father-in-law bought it. And my sister-in-law, she wasn't my sister-in-law, they were sister-in-law, drove it back and forth to Athens every day for years and years. And they finally, I think somebody else picked it up in. The only thing that he had to replace a muscle on it. The only thing he ever had to have done to it other than change the oil.
Well, I won't say the worst one. It was a fine car. The first one we had was a Corolla. And it was just right for our small family, you know. We had two daughters. Well, then we bought a Tercel wagon, and it was four-wheel drive. And if you want to call it that, but that's what it was four-wheel drive. You sort of just engaged the back wheels, I think, when you pull that lever in there. But it climbed straight up. I know I drove it out in the strip pit dumps one time just to see, on nice clear ones, how it would go up them. And it was granny gear, and oh my, it'd go straight up. But it only had a 1.5 liter engine in it, and that was a year before they come out with fuel injection. Buddy, if you was going to pass a car out there on the highway, you better have several football fields out there to get around something. You just didn't have the power. And but, you know, I think that Corolla, we put tires on it, and that was it in 4 years. And when I sold it, I think we give $8,000 for it, Jerry, and they give us $6,660 or something towards a new one. Of course, they always win. But the resale value on them was great. And we bought an Avalon eventually. And you know what? You just drive them. Keep the tires on them. The oil's changed. We've had four of them, but I would just trade them after they got $100,000 on them. But everybody said, you're nuts, Tom. They'll go $200,000. And I believe it. One we got now has got about $75,000 on it, Jerry. And, I'd be a fool at our age to treat it now, and it drives like a new one. We just love it. And then we got the Tacoma, and that truck only got $50,000 on it. So we're pretty happy with it. You don't want to take a vehicle in nowadays to any place. It'll cost you an arm and a leg, you know.
I had a Tercel, too. I had a two-door 1980 Tercel, probably about the same year. That was the first year they built them, I think. Mine was a two-door little tan one. Front-wheel drive, and the engineer that worked for me at the plant had one of those Tercel station wagons. It had kind of, you know, the back end of it, the back part of the station wagon part, it had like a vertical-looking window in it, if it's the same year model that he had. And he drove that thing for a long time. I drove the one I had probably for 3 or 4 years. Sold it to a training manager that worked there. He worked at another location, but worked for the same company. And he was still driving that thing in the 88 or 89. He'd had that thing probably 4 or 5 years in, putting a bunch of miles on it. But the Tercel, it didn't have a lot of metal on it, but it was lightweight. I remember when I drove it up to the plant, one of the guys said, you're going to get 50,000 miles of that thing. And I said, the second guy that had it, he put over 200 on it. And I bought my wife a Corolla, which she loved. And I had a pre-Tacoma, Toyota truck. and I thought the crow was a little bit too small for her, and I tried to talk her into a Camry. Corolla had a four-valve cylinder engine. It was so quiet you could barely hear it run. It was a five-speed. And I finally talked to her to a Camry. She loved that Camry. It was a 92. It was the first year with a new Lexus body style. And we kept it. We put about 114,000 on that one. And then when I started going to work for the companies in Greenville where I traveled, then they bought, let me buy my Camrys. And the last Camry I had, I put 282,000 on it. And they basically gave it to me when I left the company. I think I paid $1,500 or something like that for it. It had about 100,000 miles on it. I put another 180 on it. And sold it for $3,500 at that.
And Gerald TR. Yeah, I had the head of technology at the university in our town back in Kansas. Was a good friend of mine. We went duck hunting and stuff when I was a kid, and he was the, I don't know if he's a professor or not, but he was the head of it. And the automotive engineering, and he said, Tom, I was asking him about the Avalon's because the credit union had it, and it was a family that the guy had passed away, and they wanted to get rid of it, and it was a good price. And it was just barely what we could afford. And so anyways, I was sticking my neck out, and old Ronnie Downing told me, he said, Tom, he says, if they'd ever take that engine apart, he says, they'd never get it back together like Toyota made it in the first place. So that was a good recommendation, so we got it. And I'll tell you, I've had good luck with them. They last a long time. The four cylinders are fine now, but they got a lot more horsepower, and some of them are turbocharged or dual turbocharged. A W4 DJW's got an Avalon that's four cylinder, and his car that he drives, Zendero TR, is a Nissan, a very fine Nissan, I might add, and it has way up there in the 300 horsepower range. And he took that one to Florida here a couple years ago with his wife, and he said, Tom, it's got plenty of power. It's a hybrid four-cylinder. So that really amazed me that he'd be happy with a four-cylinder, because he's used to the horsepower, you know, Jerry. N4DJC and 0TR.
And Toyota folks for years until I bought my daughter a Civic when she was when she graduated high school. And somebody ran into her head on and told her that's the next one. I got a four-door next time. That's what she said she wanted. So I got a four-door, and she drove that thing until she got married. And we've been Toyota folks for years. I'd have one other Honda. I had one of those CRX two-seater. It was a two-and-a-half seater. I drove for a work car for a while. And I bought Lynn a four-door Civic. This is a 2005. It's still, it doesn't have about 80,000 miles on there. It's still in great shape, body-wise and otherwise, mechanically too. And when I had a Subaru Forester, and I put about 111,000 on it. I really didn't like that. It's a good car, but it's got a good drivetrain, but it was just something wrong with that thing, electrical system of that thing. It was built in Japan. It wasn't built in the U.S. So wrong with that drivetrain. Something wrong with electrical system all the time. But I finally got tired of having that all-wheel drive all the time. You just ate tires up. Decided it's time to get a Honda, and I got a 2018 Accord, and I've been real happy with it. It's a four-cylinder. It's only 1.5 liters, but it's got an intercooled turbo, and it's got plenty of enough power, and it gets about 38 to 39, 40 miles per gallon out on the highway pretty easily. But yeah, these new ones, Tom, are so daggum electronic stuff on them. That's the only thing I'm concerned about, because you know, when that stuff starts going, when that stuff goes out, it costs you a ton of money to get to this different place. And that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. And all the new cars have it, evidently. It's not, you really can't avoid it. And that's the one area that I'm most concerned about having the issue with drivetrain-wise is I'm sure it'll be fine. We've only got about 12 million miles on them anymore, maybe 14,000 a year, if that much. But I'm always concerned about that. But, you know, it's just something we just have to roll the dice and hope it continues to work for a while.
Yeah, fine business, Jerry. I'll tell you that Subaru, my brother, liked those out in... He lives out in Arizona someplace now, out there near Fort Huachuca. He liked those, but he was kind of a greenhead type of guy. And but I always was a little leery of that boxer engine, but I've never heard anything but good about him. He had the sedan. I don't remember what model it was. But our daughter bought a Saab convertible one time many years ago. And that sucker was, like you say, the electronics in it. It looked exotic, but they just kept breaking and breaking and breaking. So she now drives one of those Toyota Highlanders in the limited edition. And I think it's as quiet as our Avalon. It's really a nice vehicle. But the Honda... That's the only other one I would even consider is that Accord, and it is a honey. I like that. It's a beautiful car. But I'd find it hard to buy anything other than an Avalon. They kind of, when they broke off Lexus away from, to another dealership from Toyota, they cheapened the Avalon for a few years, and then they started doing it the right way again. A few years ago, and they're back to being right there next to the luxury cars. In fact, the Toyota dealer said, "Tom, everything in that car is Lexus that you got." He says, "There's just not as much mahogany in it in the Avalon." It's got plenty of power. It's 300 and I forget what it is. Maybe it's 265. Yeah, that's what it is, Jerry. Six cylinder, you know, about 4 liters, I guess, somewhere in that area. Fuel injection. But, buddy, it'll set you back if you need to go. I like to have the horsepower. I used to always tell my dad I need a bigger motorcycle because I couldn't get out of the way when I needed to get out of the way. And for many years, I never had anything bigger than a 250. But it would get out of the way. And I used to drive it 165 miles out to Wichita for a while when I worked at Learjet and back and on the weekends. And, man, out there on the highway, you better have a little horsepower to, you know, I could cruise at 70 mile an hour with that thing unless you had some of them Kansas winds. I had a bar mount fairing. I got blowed clear off the road one time at Augusta with Augusta wind. But overall, horsepower saves your life at times.
About the Avalon, my wife's parents have been gone now, but they bought the last car they owned was an Avalon. They bought an older one, I think. It wasn't as... I can't remember what year model it was, but they did. He'd already started having some issues with Alzheimer's, and he didn't make as good a deal on as he should have. I think the car had been repainted or something. The trunk lid had it one time, but it was a really nice car. But now, she had had, Lynn's mother had a Cressida, and the Cressida was, you know, that was the top of the line for Toyota. This had been 25 years ago, and that Cressida was as nice as any car I'd ever ridden in. And the first, when the first Lexus came out, one of my buddies bought one of the Lexus 400s, you know, the big one. And, of course, it was just a, you know, V8 Toyota on, with all the bells and whistles on it. It was a really smooth riding car. And Lynn's sister bought an Avalon, she bought an Avalon about the same time we bought a Accord. And her Yours is a nice car. I liked it. The only thing about the new Avalon is the reason I didn't get by a Camry at Avalon is I didn't like the interiors on the very newest ones. They just, you know, every once in a while they'll get something to have a weird looking interior. This was the year we were looking at it, maybe just didn't look good to me, so I decided to go with the Accord. We'd have some good luck out of the Civics that my wife had had, and so we gave it a try, and it was about the same price as probably Camry level price, maybe a little bit more. But you know, Honda and Toyota both now have I know Toyota has an upper level car now they're selling with a Toyota nameplate on. I think that car starts at about $50,000. But the Avalon's and the upper end of Accord, neither one of those come with six cylinders anymore, I don't think.
The Avalon's are about now. That bird, I was trying to think of the horsepower on them. I thought it was 365 or something. I don't know. I know Dave said that Nissan he had was up in that area. But at any rate, they got plenty of horsepower. One of the things I like about them is I wear a baseball cap at all times. I get attached to one hat, and I just wear the same one until it wears out. But I like to be able to get in the car and out of the car with a hat on without knocking your head off. If you'll notice the taper of the back windows on a lot of these cars, they slope down real fast at a critical angle, and I just don't like them. Ours is one of the more older, luxurious ones, I guess you'd say. But it's 2011, and so is the truck. But I think they're over 40 now, 42 or so. But it wasn't far from that, but we had a trade-in, so we didn't give near that much. Bernice found this one online over at Augusta, Georgia. I'd never been there before. I didn't realize that's where the big golf course was. But I'm sure glad we got it. It had 11,000 miles on it, and it was 1 year old. And it belonged to the manager there, and then some little old lady had had it for the rest of the time. And she wanted a hybrid, so she traded it in. And she must have had her jeans full of money. Yeah, 1 year old car. But at any rate, we're glad she did. Well, Jerry, I better let you go. I need to go out and talk to the birds out back there and see if I put a new resident on them with the other side. We've got two different pens. Make sure they're not bothering her and gather up the eggs. They've started to lay again, can you imagine? So we're getting quite a few eggs now, Jerry. We got one Australian one. She lays a big brown egg. So you can always tell which one's hers. And she's black as coal and really a beautiful chicken. But we went up there and traded two roosters in for two more hens because they're supposed to be hens. And he guarantees them. and we're happy with these. Sussex, they call them. They're from England, I think. But at any rate, Jerry, it's been great hearing from you, and you have a good day. Gabriel, good to hear from you if you're listening. And I'll say 73s, and I better go out to the yard and take care of things, Jerry. I sent...
Repeater, time out, exit. Peter, time out, clear.
Jerry, go ahead.
That's okay, Tom. I got all of it, I think, anyway. Listen, good talking to you today. Glad you did okay. Hope you have a good afternoon. Looks like the sun's still out here for the time being. Hope it stays that way for a while. You guys take it easy and talk to you a little bit later on. 02 RN4 DJC clear.